Good morning, good morning, good morning, and thank you for joining me on yet another episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. Monday's episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. This is how we're starting off this week, and I am so excited to bring you the guest that I have waiting backstage today. But you know how it is. You know what we have to do. We have to do some work before we go ahead and introduce our guest. So I'm going to ask you to do what I always ask you to do, and that is to go out and be an evangelist for the Roundtable Talk Show. Find someone who's always been dreaming of being an entrepreneur, someone who wants to quit their day job, someone who just started their own business, and let them know the Roundtable Talk Show is live. We're live right now. Or maybe they don't even know they want to be an entrepreneur. Your neighbor's out walking his dog, grandma's baking cookies. Someone somewhere needs to hear this message. So while you're sharing the show, I'll go ahead and introduce our very first guest. And our guest needs absolutely no introduction because she's been here. I think she's co-hosted shows. She's been here so much. I enjoy meeting her. I love her brand and the fact that each and every week she talks about something completely different. Now, that's a gift. That's a talent. Please join me in welcoming Allison Allman, best known as the organization Maven. Good morning, Allison. How are you?
Good morning, Sharifa. You know what today is? It's my favorite day of the week. I love coming to your show on Mondays and networking with all of our guests. And it just, like I've been saying for weeks, it just sets the tone of all the excitement and positive things happening.
Well, I'm always excited when you're here. I'm always excited when you're here because, we always chat and talk and laugh and comment on Facebook and social media. We used to go to the same networking groups prior to COVID. So you're someone that, I really just enjoy you as a person, you as a brand, but you always bring it as a brand. That's what I love. If you were just a cool lady that I met and your business wasn't where it was, I'd be like, Allison, I appreciate you being here last week, but we might need to take some space. But each and every week, you have a new aspect about your business, a new aspect to teach, and you've been on television like over the last few months. What's going on with you now?
So, as a home organizer here in Southern California, I've been in people's homes pretty much every day for as long as I can remember. But significantly, what I've noticed in the past 8 months is people have, and it's a trending word right now, it's or a hashtag, it's COVID fatigue. And a lot of people are suffering from it. A lot of people have these feelings that they can't keep up. Both cleaning, distance learning, cooking, just all the aspects that we have on our plate. And now we've reached a point where we're just fatigued out and our nerves are shot. So, I'm coming out with I don't know if it's a training or a workshop, but my heart is tender to everyone suffering. So in January, I'm really focusing on our mental health and helping clients get organized in January. And I've already got some things in the works where I've been working, and I've written quite a few articles that are going to publish in January and whatnot, just addressing the COVID fatigue. And so that's pretty much what I wanted to, let people know that it's real and that, that I have options for them as a home organizer to go in and help them. So that's what's going on with me.
How do you know you're suffering from COVID fatigue?
Oh, I'd have to say everyone here, between our panel and our people watching, it's everything. It's depression, it's fatigue, it's overstressed, overzoomed. We're all overzoomed. We're all overstressed. We're all feeling that blah feeling when we walk into our kitchen and someone says, "What's for dinner?" And you're like, it's that feeling in our stomach when it's gurgling and we're all stressed out and we're looking at our bank accounts and everything. It's all of that feelings and stress.
So organizing my home, how would that help with the COVID fatigue?
Well, so I came up with some ways to help people get on a schedule, feel better about themselves, whatnot. And then I'm really focusing more on macro organizing my clients, where we just get things in the right area and shying away a little bit from using bins and getting micro organized. I know right now it's trending, all those cute little lazy Susans with compartments and rainbow editing. And I know it's trending right now. And it's for people that are suffering in depression and having the fatigue, it's nice to watch on TV, but they feel it's not important in their home. So I'm doing a lot of macro organizing where we're just getting things on the right shelf, or we're just getting things, just passable to get them motivated to, to enjoy their lives more. I feel like micro organizing isn't for everyone, and I'm just letting everyone know it's okay that they don't have to have their house that way. But we still have to be on like a routine, and we still have to like take care of ourselves, and more along the lines of making our house a sacred place. So I'm just it's just I'm just changing my methods a little bit. I've always been a macro organizer and not a micro organizer, but this is just a more better way for me to adapt it to more of my clients and just let them know it's okay. It's okay.
Oh, I
Just
like that.
feel this way.
I might need to, that just seems like when you need a friend, you know what I mean? More than anything else, someone to say, it's okay. It's okay that you're tired, that you're not feeling well, and that your house is not as organized as you need it to be. But if you contact Allison Allman, the organization maven, she can help you. Now, Allison, I have more questions for you, but I'm going to go ahead and introduce our next guest, Miss Elisa Pospakova. Kinroot was founded by Elisa Pospakova, a health and wellness enthusiast, avid yogi, and an aspiring herbalist. Having felt transformative power of holistic nutrition and plant-based supplements for management of her own autoimmune condition, she set out to develop a line of fun and accessible supplements that people would actually look forward to taking. Good morning, Elisa. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing really well. How are you?
I am excited. Now, Allison was talking about COVID fatigue. What are your thoughts on COVID fatigue?
First of all, I love that you started talking about it and it just rang the bell because I've been navigating launching a new business during COVID for the past year. My brand actually just turned a year old earlier this month. And now, together with this whole idea of like home, my home is my office. Sometimes it's a shipping facility. It's, my bedroom, it's a recording studio. So I definitely have these days where I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't be in this space anymore. And how do I leave? How do I move? How do I change things up to make it really workable and accessible, but still feel like it's cozy so that at the end of the day, when I finish my work, I can actually like sit down and watch TV or I can meditate or do whatever. And I don't feel like I'm still, at my desk. So I think everybody's suffering from it, but I definitely hear from a lot of entrepreneurs that separation from work and personal life is even more difficult right now.
Now, in your bio, you talked about your own autoimmune disease that set you off on this path. Can you tell us a little bit more about your journey, Alice, Elisa?
Yeah, I know, definitely. So I have asthma. I've had it my whole entire life. And so whenever I get sick, I just get these coughs that last forever. And I've been buying lozenges my whole entire life whenever, I would get sick. And it was interesting because I was buying them without even thinking about it. It was a totally transactional purchase. And a couple of years ago, I remember the day I was standing in Walgreens and I was just about to grab one. And it kind of hit me that I've been buying the same product for 20 years. You have Ricola, Vicks. They didn't taste particularly good. I didn't feel like the branding or packaging appealed to me on an emotional level. And then when I started looking at ingredients, when I was going through an internship in herbalism, I realized that sometimes they have, menthol that actually irritates your throat. They have soy. They have all these kind of processing agents. So I decided to go on this journey of entrepreneurship and creating a better lozenge, both having, organic ingredients, but also having some active beneficial. So in my line for Kind Root, lozenges are not just for your throat. They're actually a delivery method. So we have one for sleep, we have one for focus, one for mood, and I'm actually launching one next week for immunity as well with vitamin C.
Congratulations. Oh, okay, let's go back over that list. You say you have
Yeah.
one for what and what
One
and
for
what?
sleep. So there's one for sleep, which is my favorite. It's with melatonin and ashwagandha. It's called Snooze. It's the best seller. There's one for mood
That's what I thought.
with reishi mushroom. And people are always like, is that mushroom candy? Will it taste like candy? And no, it will not taste like candy. It tastes like delicious lychee rose water that's very soothing. We have one for glow with collagen, one for focus with Shizandra and lemon balm, and then the new one with vitamin C and reishi mushroom as well.
Okay, so for your mood, when you say your mood, does it help with COVID fatigue?
I think it's probably one of the things in a whole arsenal of so you get Allison to come and organize your life, and during that time you kind of pop a lozenge. What I think is interesting about the product is that because the lozenge stays in your mouth for 5 to 6 minutes, we develop the flavors to be aromatherapy based. So it's a whole experience as you're like put it in your mouth, rose water flavor kind of kicks in, and you start to get that kind of organoleptic sense. And then the reishi mushroom and the maca root kick in and help you feel a little bit more soothed and a little bit more grounded. But we always say that it's about your whole entire environment and everything else that you're doing. And our adaptogens are, they're a little moment of reset in a kind of chaotic day and a chaotic time right now.
I like that. I'm gonna have to order some. I need something to help with my mood. But Alisa, I am going to come back to you. I want to go ahead and introduce our next guest, Miss Carrie Klimas. Carrie's passion is building relationships for long-term success. With several years in network marketing industries, corporate world, and retail sales experience, networking, marketing, and presentation skills, she is an expert in her field. Good morning, Carrie. How are you?
I'm amazing today. Thank you for asking. I trust everybody else is amazing as well, you included.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you. You are too kind. But you know, I have to ask, what are your thoughts on COVID fatigue?
Well, this is actually the first time hearing it, I would say, but I truly understand it. Yeah, I mean, I myself, of course, I can relate to the whole Zoom thing and being indoors, and we're kind of like in a jail cell, not only in a physical box, but we're also living in here, which is fatiguing us out. And let's just say our mental noise in our head isn't in a good place to, it's meant to be out in nature. It's meant to be socializing. We're meant to be enjoying life, and we're stuck in this little box. So we are creating our own stress in our own lives. So yeah, I can definitely relate in what's going on in that world. So yeah.
Absolutely. So tell us a little bit about yourself, Carrie. Who are you and what do you do?
Thank you. Well, I am a self-discovery life mastery coach, as well as a co-lead trainer in our communications workshop called Great People Skills. Our company, Self-Discovery Life Mastery, has been around for 18 years. I myself became a client in 2011. I've been on my own for now 11 years after the corporate world, and I believed in personal growth. I read books, seminars, got a lot of knowledge. But too much knowledge doesn't mean I have all the answers. Doesn't maybe I'm not putting it into action. So in 2011, a coach from our company came to my house, and I honestly got real with myself from where I wished I had a much more ideal relationships with a boyfriend or better ideal career, but I didn't know how to change that. I had fatigue and stuck, not knowing what the next step was. So yeah, so having a master that she shared with me, what if I could show you a very practical exercise to quiet your mind that would allow you to discipline your attention to be more focused on what's important to you. So feeling like I could have somebody to be myself, to be honest with, and somebody who's really truly interested to have my back, cares about me, and wants the best for me. And I was willing to put myself and made myself a priority. And because of my own personal commitment to myself and my self-mastery, the founder of our work recognized that. And we just finished our fourth Great People Skills. I should say our fourth year in our Great People Skills workshop, and the coaching program got launched about a year and a half ago. So I even attended the 3-day workshop this past weekend. So always putting myself in a new position to be a new me, walking out of there with new insights and things I might have heard 10 million times, but where, wow, I really might have not been doing that, where I might have had fatigue in an area. And because of this new awareness, I shifted it to slay the dragons and slay the better attitude and get out there and keep my attention focused on what's important to me.
I love it. I like your energy. You're one of those people that's just up. It's great. I have some questions about what you learned in this 3-day over this past weekend. But before I get into that, I want to know, can you actually master life?
Well, life is what you make out of it. L-I-F-E is just a 4-letter word. But first, you got to master yourself. So life is happening all the time. We can't change it. The world is still going to be here. The birds and nature, people are always going to be here. But it's this thing that we want to master so we can have the ideal life we want to create. So it's your life. You can create what you want. It's your life. How would you like to live it? The life is always happening as long as you're above ground.
Yes. See, that was an excellent answer. You know, you've been studying and reading some books, Carrie, because that was a trick question that you didn't get caught on. That was an excellent answer. So you went to this seminar over the weekend, probably things you've heard a million times, but what message would you say you took from that you can share with our audience?
Well, everything we do is experiential because it's not a concept. It's not a theory. It's not a book. So it's my own personal experience and that I identified with it. I'm like, that makes a lot of sense, Carrie. Own that. It's you, you know. But it's always about awareness. And so coming into today, I'd say that my awareness was that all of us do this, is that we judge something. We're judging somebody. We're all the Zoom calls. Oh, another Zoom call. Here we go again. This person's going to talk my ear off. And so I became aware of like, wow, I'm judging it before actually getting there. So I'm not creating my day as a blank slate. So being able to go in every call as a black slate and just being open, being relaxed and not, you know, judging what's going to happen. Otherwise, I can't get to the end result because I'm thinking that the end result's already going to happen and I can allow something different to show up if I keep my attention judging that the same thing's going to happen over and over again. Mm-hmm. So I came with an attitude like, wow, I'm going to slay the day. I've got 8 Zoom calls and every single one, I'm just going to be open. And if I've got a judgment, just be aware of it and shift my attention into letting go and just be here now and trust the universe and the magic's going to show up. So
I just want to always at 44, my hearing's not what it used to be, but did you say you have 8 Zoom calls today?
Yes.
8 Zoom calls.
Yes.
I do like maximum of 3 calls a day. That's my maximum. How can you, it takes so much energy to be present and to talk and to communicate and to teach and to learn. How can you be focused and awake for 8 Zoom calls? Is that the average per day or that just today?
It depends. They're all different days. And most of them are back to back. But again, with the skills I train myself is to be present, you know, to be more relaxed and more alert. This is a muscle I built because that's just a story. You think if you have 8 or more calls, you're going to be fatigued. No, that's just a story. You think that's the past. Nope. I'm ready to hear now. 5 calls, 6 calls, 10 calls. I can do it all because I'm present and I'm open to what's being said. I'm not letting the past demonstrate what the future can hold.
Okay. So basically I'm going to go over there and have a session with Alisa so she can give me some of those mood enhancers. So I am able to do 8 Zoom calls back to back.
Or even take on the attitude. I can take on the next one, even if I have 7 or 8. I'm still going to be fresh in every single moment. I'm not going to be fatigued. That's a story. That's a limiting belief. So being able to be aware of our limiting belief and changing it. It's like, nope, just another one. I'm present to the next one. Come on, bring it down.
Yeah, I probably could if I wanted to. I just don't. Like, I don't want to do that much talking. I love the fact that I speak to me 5 new friends a day. That's my thing. So I've gotten all those people into one call. Now we're going to talk about that some more, Carrie, but I want to go ahead and introduce our next guest. And you know, of course, I have to ask him his thoughts on COVID fatigue, see if he has it, Mr. Adam Pierce. Adam comes from a management consulting and digital marketing background, previously holding directorships in sales and marketing at some of the UK's fastest growing tech businesses. Adam has a deep strategic understanding of marketing. As CEO and head of partnerships, Adam focuses on ensuring that Blend continues to provide the highest level of service to Blend clients by understanding the needs of the market. Adam frequently presents at national and international conferences on Shopify and digital marketing. Good morning, Adam. How are you?
Good morning, Sharifa. I'm doing really well. And thank you so much for having me.
You are so welcome. I love accents in general. So I just love your accent.
Thank you.
You are so welcome. So you're in the UK, correct?
That's right. Yeah. So I'm around about 2 hours from London. I live in a place called Stratford-upon-Avon, which is where our famous playwright William Shakespeare is from. So yeah, kind of the end of my day and I know the start of yours.
Yeah, so did that rub off on you anyway? Like, are you a better writer just because you're near where William Shakespeare was?
I wish it was. It would come in be very, very helpful. But no, we have a lot of tourists from all over the world. And it's obviously a great place to live and work. So it's great from a recruitment point of view because people want to come and work, obviously, in this area. Wow. And that's obviously fantastic for us.
Okay, so now everyone else is in the U.S., so I have to ask, because Allison said everyone, that's what Allison said. Do they have COVID fatigue in the UK?
Absolutely. And I think, you know, it's not something I actually heard before, but the way Allison described it, I think is absolutely perfect because, you know, I think the thing for me is that, you know, like you guys are all saying that in terms of those amount of Zoom calls we're having, I think the other thing as well is being in one place all the time. Particularly for me, so I don't mind telling you guys, you know, I used to suffer quite a lot with depression, and I'm kind of medicated and do a lot of things like mindfulness, which is why it's interesting what Carrie was saying there about kind of being present and being in the moment. And I think, you know, for me is that trying to just kind of get that bit of separation between the home and work is important. So for me, that just means, you know, making sure that I can, you know, go to my office for a couple of hours in the morning, come back in the afternoon, maybe take the dog for a walk, and just kind of breaking that day up, because there is that tendency, I think, at the moment, everyone's working that little bit harder, and it's then harder to then unwind at the end of the day. And that then also has a knock-on effect on our families and our relationships. So yeah, 100% the same here. And I think also all across Europe as well, definitely seeing that with people I work with and clients and partners that I work with as well.
Mm-hmm. So when you said you go to your office, is that in your home or completely separate?
So the office is separate, and the restrictions on the UK at the moment that we're advised that we shouldn't be working in the office with the people. So, you know, I'm fortunate because I'm the CEO, I'm allowed to, I kind of go to the office by myself. The rest of the team are kind of working remotely from home. And, you know, by and large, it's working pretty well. I think some members of my team, you know, are finding it difficult, but it's also tricky to kind of, you know, give people options come and work in a place that we're not supposed to. There's no law against it, but it's strongly advised not to. And obviously, you know, I've got responsibility not only for people's physical health but mental health. So that's, I think, something that I've been dealing with quite a lot at the moment, trying to kind of balance as a company. You know, how do we get that balance right for people, and especially someone who's suffering with mental health issues? You know, what's that kind of mix that's kind of between the two, really?
What have you found that works? And has that been consistent through this whole pandemic? You know, some people were one way in March. Now by December, they're either a little more restricted, maybe they're a little less restricted. What does that look like for you?
I think it's a really interesting question because my observation is that people have kind of been on this sort of up and down cycle, and people have been on different points of that at different times. So, you know, some of the members of my team at the start were loving it because, you know, look, it was, they didn't have to get out of bed so early in the morning. You know, they could get their laptop out, work at home, and it was great for a month. And then it was like, man, I really want to be in the office. Other members of the team were kind of, you know, having that initial point of, look, I need that separation between being at home and, you know, obviously team members that have got children that were having to homeschool them. There was a lot of pressure there. And in a way for those guys, they've kind of got over that part now. And they're like, actually, I've found my right balance at home. So I think it's tricky, you know, for business owners to kind of say, look, here is the one thing that you must do. And I think what we've tried to do is try to say, look, where are people now at this moment in time? And what do we need to try and do to help them? So it's a bit more kind of moving parts and spinning lots of plates to make sure we can make everyone as happy as possible, really.
Mm-hmm. Now, two words that, you know, we may have heard in our lives, but never as much in the last 9 months, but those were essential and pivot, right? And one of the areas I think all businesses pivoted is in their marketing, because some companies, they only had brick and mortar. They had to go online, become e-commerce and look for it. And they became so much more creative. From the marketing side, they had to come up with different ideas and repackage themselves. One of the things I talked about early on is I was watching the tone change in commercials. For instance, I was watching a Verizon Wireless commercial and they're like, we're here for you. We're here for you if you need us. We are available for you 24 hours, 7 days a week at VerizonWireless.com. And I'm like, is that new? Like, weren't you always available 24 hours, 7 days? But it makes it sound like we care, which has changed like all the messaging as opposed to that hard sell. Or maybe that's just me, Adam. What are your thoughts?
No, I completely agree. And, you know, it's difficult, isn't it, Shubha? Because the likes of Verizon, you know, to be able to try and convey that now, there's always going to be that level of skepticism, I think, you know, like you mentioned there. And I think that's why the smaller businesses have really been winning over COVID, because the smaller startups, the people with a kind of real story behind their brand, you know, like the likes of Elise, who we've just been hearing from, that's where people are buying into now, because they realize that these smaller companies have been there all along, but actually it's now that we need to kind of support each other. And I think that's kind of been one of the positive things about COVID-19 is that it's made people realize that it isn't all about, you know, the likes of the Walmarts, the Verizons, the Nikes. It's actually about, you know, your aunt who's got that little store down the road, or, you know, your cousin who has started her own jewelry business over the COVID-19 period. And I think, you know, that's where that authenticity of a true brand is kind of coming out. And it's difficult for those bigger brands to kind of say, well, look, you know, all these years, we've just been about these big brash commercials about how great we are, being the hero. And now it's like, actually, guys really care about you. That's a difficult transition, I think, to make. Some are doing it well. Some, I think, are losing out to the smaller brands, which, you know, is, for me, not necessarily a bad thing at all. It's bringing a level of competition in that I think a lot of markets need.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Elisa, I would love to hear your thoughts on what Adam had to say.
Yeah, no, I think absolutely. I mean, I think it's been, as a small brand, it's just been an interesting journey, because, you know, and pivot is absolutely the word. You know, right in like February, March, you know, I was talking to Whole Foods, we were like talking about a launch, and then a week later, like they wouldn't even respond to me, right? Because they were trying to figure out how to stock their stores with toilet paper and all that kind of stuff. And so, you know, it really had, I had to shift my focus to digital, which as a small brand is also difficult because all the big brands were, you know, shifting their focus to digital. And all of a sudden, like, you know, in a month, like things got so much more expensive in an area where normally I think the small brands really work. So we really focused on content and just a lot of genuine content. So a lot of like founder stories, a lot of things on Instagram around, you know, recipes or, you know, inspiration. And those are the types of things that I think really resonated with people. And so I get through our customer service just a lot of comments from people who are saying, hey, you know, I love your story. I love that I'm supporting somebody. You know, during that time, I was actually hand making the lozenges myself here in a little commercial kitchen in Redondo Beach. And so I could, you know, post a lot of things around me actually there, you know, with a face mask, with a face shield, you know, like my employees there, and like really showing how much goes into the production. And I think that resonated with, you know, hey, why is your price so much more expensive than, you know, Vicks or somebody who's producing millions a day and it's just, you know, copying in an automated line. And so I really hope that that type of connection to smaller businesses and brands is here to stay with people. I also think that in addition to COVID, you know, we also had some other movements, right, that like really, truly social movements that were happening. And I think that just a lot of exposed to, you know, the need to support, you know, businesses that are owned by people of color, women-owned businesses. And I think there's just been a lot of movement and a lot of focus on highlighting those brands, giving them access on the shelves, giving them access, you know, in media. And I'm really inspired by seeing that too.
Thank you. Carrie, I'd love to hear your thoughts.
Well, I feel like, yeah, the big techs are always the ones always going to get the business. But again, really, that doesn't really make up what society is really about. It is all about the smaller individual, and we're losing that connection with people because we're not really focusing on each other. And we do, but we kind of still go to those stores. I mean, what stores? Most of us don't sell toilet paper. I mean, big stores sell toilet paper. So we still need them to some extent. I mean, even for me, I'll say that, I know I'll go to Walmart Supercenter to get a few things, but, you know, I've been in direct sales, currently not at the moment, but I was in one direct sales company for 14 years and, you know, a client of many of them, you know, but I still like buying because I know where they're buying it and they're making it directly probably from the US, and the individuals buying it directly, not paying for marketing and advertising fees. So, you know, helping that little, the individual in that small industry because they are selling probably more ideal product because there aren't markups on it. If there is a markup, it's because it's, you know, more higher quality and you're getting more for what you want. And, you know, you're getting people, I think, more engaged rather than the targets because they're taking too many other brands off the shelves and from other people. They don't really have any idea what's made in the brand. They just are there to sell it, you know, because that's, I think, in the UK, when it comes to makeup, I believe they got a lot of, you know, checks that they get a check and balance off. But in the States, they don't have a lot of things they really apply to really care for. So I think some companies really want to take more better care of what they're putting into their products and letting people know that they do put that care into it. And having us be the ones that love it so much, then we've become the brand and as well as the ambassador for those products as well, you know, helping each other out.
I think it's a lot more helping each other out, not just from the retail side, but just people in general. One of my favorite experiences was a guest who was on the show, and she said she saw a lady write a letter and tell all her neighbors that she was there to help if they needed something. So my guest decided to write the same letter. So she wrote this letter, told all of her neighbors, I'm here if you need anything, especially if you're a senior citizen and you don't want to go to the grocery store, I'll go for you, you know, and she left her number. She said she did not receive one call from anyone who said, I need your help. But she received so many calls from neighbors who said, you know what, I've been living here for 5 years, or I've been living next door, or I've been across the street or around the block, and I never knew who you were. But now, because of the world's, you know, basically this situation, I was able to meet you. So there are so many positives that come out of the worst situations. I really love to say that there is a blessing in every curse. This show has been a blessing. If not for what we've been going through, I don't believe I would have ever been able to get 5 guests a day, 5 shows a week to show up. They would be like, no, I'm too busy. I don't do Zoom. You know, people before COVID, they would act like Zoom stinks. Like, I don't do Zoom. You know what I mean? I only network offline. Now, all of a sudden, we're all in the Zoom pool. Allison, you talked a lot over the last 9 months, I would say, about some of the ways to be more creative. You talked about utilizing groups, hashtags. What are your thoughts?
Well, first I wanted to go back to Adam, how he talked about the ups and downs. We had a meme quite a few different times over the summer called the Corona Coaster, where it's the emotional feelings of being super like, okay, I got this. And then the next day you're crying and eating, you know, a box of chocolate because you can't handle the stress. So when he mentioned the up, like, at first people were like this and now they got it, I'm like, oh, they went through the Corona Coaster over there too. But
I did, because I talked about that like right before all of this hit, because I announced the show on March 3rd, right before we were all locked down, but it was going to launch on March 30th. And I was drinking only water. I did a 7-day juice fast. I was eating healthy, eating my salads, doing intermittent fasting. COVID hit, I was in McDonald's. Like, can I have a mocha frappe, please?
Oh, no. So when our store, our Target, early in our lockdown, for here in Southern California, toilet paper and like everything, Top Ramen, like the shelves were all empty. But this is the funniest thing. So at my Target, the whole ice cream aisle was completely empty, except for the very bottom shelf in this like little hidden location was ice cream cakes, full ice cream cakes for $17. Do you know what I bought for the first 2 weeks and what we ate as we cried? The Oreo ice cream cake. So I told a few people about it, and now the ice cream cake, that shelf is always empty. Like, I regret telling people. I think I've even mentioned it on this show a couple times. So now the ice cream aisle is restocked, but that one shelf is always empty. And I'm like, okay, who's eating the ice cream cakes? Why aren't you sharing with me? I'm having a crisis. I need to go eat that. So, but I have definitely noticed, especially in the past month with Christmas and everything, that everyone has, I mean, there's been a ton of posts about, you know, not supporting Amazon or Target or Walmart and going back to helping everyone. And, you know, I kind of feel like that's almost like a two-edged sword, because there's quite a few people that work, especially locally here, that work at the Amazon warehouse, they work at Walmart, so it's hard to be like, I'm not going to support this other person, so I'm going to support the other person. It's like I said, it's a two-edged sword. We have too many people that work at too many places, and then we have people that are struggling, and then we have, you know, the donut shop, and then we have, you know, all these at-home things. So I know in general it's hard. I mean, like, and that's where the COVID, I guess, fatigue comes in. It's like, okay, who do we shop from? Who do we support? Who do we not hurt our feelings? If we do this, then we do that. And then, you know, and I think a lot of it too, which only sounds terrible, is like almost like social media is bad in the sense there's been a lot of shaming and you know, and everything. So I feel like there's just so much. I'm just kind of all over the place this morning. I've had coffee.
It's okay. It's okay. I'm used to you being all over the place, and I'm used to me bringing you back to where I asked the question of, you know, hashtags, groups, what are some of the creative things that you can do to get your business out there?
Well, definitely follow the trending hashtags. A lot of women-owned business, support small, all of those things that are trending right now. So COVID fatigue, that's another one that's trending.
Okay, so how do you, you know, you can't just hashtag COVID fatigue and you trying to sell butter. Like, you gotta, how can you tie the butter into the COVID fatigue?
You could show someone crying and eating butter and how they are suffering with COVID fatigue.
Good answer.
Can use the hashtag Corona roller coaster, and then anyone that's following either of those hashtags. I do have a testimony on hashtags. So I follow a Montana hashtag. There's a couple different Montana hashtags that I follow, and so I I can't remember the name of this person, but she takes pictures of Glacier National Park and the areas of Montana. She takes these beautiful sunsets. So I started noticing that happening on my Instagram feed, more and more of her pictures. And I just kept liking her pictures. And so then one day I decided to follow her. So it took a couple of times of seeing her hashtag in my feed, and then, or the Montana Glacier National Park hashtag. And so then I started watching her stories, and I comment on her stories, and we talk and stuff. So it turns out she's from Riverside. And when she turned 18, she left Southern California and went and moved to Montana. She's some kind of famous photographer or something. I bought some coasters from her. She was saying how she had an abundance of prints and everything, and she was trying to sell it, and, you know, gave the link and everything. And so then I sent her a message like, I'm so glad I found you on hashtags. And she's like, oh, I'm so glad you started following me and you bought a coaster set from hashtags. So I mean, and I started following her probably early COVID, early March, you know, where I'm sitting home just scrolling through my feed. And so, I mean, it does work. The hashtag follows. You just have to make sure that you do. I don't know what we have to do, but I know it works. That was my testimony.
Just use them. Just put the hashtags in there. You come up with all these interesting things. You done made COVID into a season, because usually we say early summer, late spring. You're like early COVID. I'm like, is that a new season we just added to the year? I don't know. Adam, I want to ask you, because marketing is your thing, is what you do. Allison talked a little bit about hashtags. What are some of the other ways that maybe smaller businesses can compete in today's market in marketing?
Yeah, sure. So I want to tell you about a really good tool called Spark Toro. It's actually created by a guy called Rand Fishkin, who was the co-founder of Moz, who are a big kind of SEO optimization company. And basically what SparkToro does is that you can go onto SparkToro.com and you can search for, let's say, a particular job title or a particular type of person that will be interested in your product. So rather than kind of saying, you know, look, like a lot of entrepreneurs do, I'm looking to sell to women aged between 18 and 24 in Washington. What you're doing here is you're saying, you're looking at maybe the things that are included in their social profile. So what SparkToro will do is that it will search through lots of different social profiles for particular words that are included. So let's say, for example, that, you know, Elisa uses it, and what she does is that she searches for herbal remedies, or we put in there, you know, yoga teacher, for example. It will come back with a number of different websites that people with those terms in their social profiles are visiting. It will come back with podcasts they listen to. It will come back with YouTube channels they're part of, and basically give you a view of where all these people hang out. So I came across this about a month ago. One of the things that I did is that I actually typed in e-commerce manager, because that's the kind of person that we were trying to sell to an agency. And what was interesting is that it actually gave me a lot of podcasts where it said that out of 300,000 profiles that it found with those terms in, 20% of them had visited these particular podcast sites. So that was obviously fantastic for me, because I could then go and say, well, look, you know, hey guys, I've, you know, this particular podcast, I'd love to be a guest. Can I be on? And then I know that my marketing is actually finding people that I'm looking for. So along with all the other guests who are here today as well, I think this could be great for, you know, all of our businesses, but anyone that is an entrepreneur that is knows the kind of person they want to sell to, or knows the kind of things that people are talking about that are related, then actually that's a really good, great free tool. I mean, there is a paid option, but I think you get like 10 free searches a month. And yeah, I find it fantastic.
Can you say the name of that again?
I said the same thing.
Yeah.
Like, what is the name?
Yeah, sorry. So it's Spark Toro. So S-P-A-R-K and then T-O-R-O.com. SparkToro.com.
Oh, I like it. Very interesting. Carrie. Yes, I heard free. Free is my favorite number. So I'm going to go check it out.
Absolutely.
Carrie, what are some thoughts? What are some of your thoughts when you're working with your clients? I know they're struggling, they're going through it. How do you be your best self and master your life and try to improve your business simultaneously?
Well, your business is part of who you are. The goal is that most people don't make themselves a priority. We'll spend thousands and thousands of dollars on a car, you know, and get it fixed, but we're never looking inside of ourselves and what's important to me. And we're not usually asked the question. Because most people are doing their best and, you know, taking it, you know, doing what they have to do for their own life, let alone have enough time and attention to give the others. So going over to the weekend and being around these people, there's some of us think we know it all, but then you actually know nothing. But if you're willing to say, I'm open. I mean, I met a woman, I went out to dinner with a friend from, gosh, she knew my sister. I mean, we used to go roller skating together, and I sat down for dinner and she came from the Nextdoor app. And she said, let's connect. So I sat down with her for dinner on Friday night and just, you know, I said, well, what are you looking for? She's like, you know, I'm ready to get dating again. I want to start my own business. I said, well, how serious are you about this? She's, I'm open and I'm ready for some change. I go, people always ask me, what kind of people you look for? I said, well, open, ready, out of the box. And if you're ready to make that change, then great, we can get started. So I trust you see my changes and where I'm coming from. And so my goal is to be a penetrating, genuine authority figure. And she knew that we wanted to connect again. So we'll be sitting together again tomorrow, face to face. And I told her, so you got the bonus program, because most people, clients are my own or on Zoom, but you're right in front of me and you can actually see me. And once you create a win in your life, we can celebrate. We can go out and celebrate, not just say, hey, congratulations, but we can actually go out and reward ourselves for what you've accomplished. So yeah, but people have to be ready to make that change. And so what I'm telling people, this is a gift time right now. What are you making important for yourself? Who are you talking to that's really sincerely interested in what you want? You know, more money, more time, you know, better self-care, more self-love, you know, making what's important to you. You know, we buy a new car, but who are you really asking that you want? And then, you know, finding somebody that can guide you to put a plan together, you know, to, you know, and you can make it happen. So,
okay,
you are your best.
I like that, Carrie. But I'm gonna ask you a question. But don't tell Allison, right? Don't, because she, you know, she got. I don't always put out people's personal business. But Allison and I, we always talk about relationships and, you know, finding a man, finding us, that kind of thing. You mentioned relationships twice, so I'm curious, what is the relationship plan? Because I got to get Allison married off.
Well, the best relationship to have is with yourself. So if you make yourself the most important relationship,
he loves herself.
Knowing me, right? I would date me. I'm good. I know my inner self. I know my outer self. I know what I could be better at. But, you know, it's just like, I mean, I love organization. If you can't see my house, it's very organized. I hire a decorator in the last 7 years. But where are we not hiring experts to look inward and organize what's important to us? You know, making ourselves what we want. So, you know, the best relationship I'm having is with myself, and trust I'm attracting ideal clients, friends, partners, that ones who we get to be ourselves and enjoy ourselves. And if I'm taking the initiative a couple of times to go out, and if they're not calling back or doing something, there's nothing wrong with anything. But I'm always willing to throw the net out there and find out where people are at. There's nothing wrong. Just that those who do the two-way. Hey, you want to go out? Yes, that sounds great. You want to go out? Let's do that. You want to have a phone call? Great. But the mind makes it so complicated, and we judge too quickly. And we're not always open to see what that possibility is. And we always trust ourselves and how we communicate. Me, myself, and I all have to get along and go into the refrigerator to eat whatever I want to eat. You know, I align with myself and not feel guilty about what I'm going to eat. I'm going to eat what I want to eat. We're going to align. I don't care about the calories. I don't care what's going to make me fat because I'm going to work it off tomorrow. Who cares? I'm going to enjoy it. But there's so much guilty, not giving enough like, ourselves enough guilty pleasures in our lives.
Carrie, I'm telling you,
more ice cream cake for me.
My personal trainer would not agree with you, Carrie. They probably want to take you off this whole episode. No, Sharifa, no ice cream cake. Allison.
Well, as long as you know you're working out 3 times a week, then reward yourself on Sunday for that. You can see me 3 times a week. If that's what you want, then eat 2 bites. One day, have the cake sit there and eat 2 bites. Next couple of days, you work out 3 bites. I mean, everything is in growth. You know, but I mean, eating a whole cake is a different story, but we're saying a slice of once a week is all right.
Okay, we'll see. Because I've never been able to eat 2 bites of a cake, but I'm going to work on that.
Hey, every bite's a reward, so enjoy it.
Oh, see, I like you. You always have that spin. You got that motivational speaker spin to everything.
Yeah, well, trust yourself. It's about trusting yourself. I mean, I'm my ideal weight, so I trust I can eat anything I want. But I also know I do take the time to work out, and I know I trust myself. I don't go and eat 10 billion bites of it either. You know, I just eat enough. I just give myself enough.
Everything in moderation.
Exactly.
So did you take notes, Allison, so we can get you married off?
Hey, I already want to get married off. Coach. I already have the relationship coach that I'm working with. We're making good progress.
What are you learning? Help a sister out. I need to get married off too.
I'm not giving away Krista's secrets. You got to talk to Krista.
Oh, I found out the secret. I know who to talk to about getting married off. Are we marrying you off, Alyssa?
I don't, probably not in the near future, but I am in a relationship. So it's been interesting maintaining that during COVID. I will say one of the secrets is having 2 separate offices in one house. So we actually moved during COVID because sharing an office room just wasn't working anymore.
COVID has broke up a lot of marriages, a lot of relationships, people who thought they were happily married. I got a friend who was happily married for 10 years. COVID hit, now they're going through divorce court because they were both in the same house together and they both had worked, you know, they had independent lives. And then COVID happened, they both got laid off. So now they both have less money. They both at home all the time. Next thing we know, divorce court. Adam, what are some of the things that you've recognized and realized for self-care and helping people to stay happy during this time?
Yeah, I think, look, in terms of self-care, I think one of the things that's really helped with work and with our team is making sure that people get even that little bit of exercise. And it doesn't have to be about going to a gym and working out. Even just that little half an hour of maybe going for, on your lunch break, or going for a walk around the park, or, you know, getting out in the garden, just basically bring some fresh air and getting up off your seat. Because, you know, like it, so Carrie was saying there, you know, but if you've got 8 Zoom calls a day, it's very easy to fall into that trap of just kind of being in this chair and kind of doing the same thing all day, and making sure you have that time to just go for a breather and just kind of be mindful as well, and kind of, you know, notice things that are happening around you. I think, yeah, look, it's particularly, you know, if you live somewhere where the seasons are changing as they have done since March, you know, particularly in North America, or if you're, you know, here in the UK, Europe, yeah, making the best of kind of, you know, if there is snow, if the leaves are falling, notice these things. And it sounds like small and it sounds a bit like, yeah, whatever, but it really does make that difference. Because when you're not going out every day doing your usual job and usual things you would do, you get a bit wrapped up in, you know, this kind of square box that we're looking at right in front of us. So that's kind of been my thing of making sure that we appreciate what's going on around us.
How many Zoom calls do you do a day, Adam?
It varies. I mean, yeah, I've done, you know, sort of 6 or 7 in one day. But because some of our team are remote anyway, Zoom's been kind of part of our life for a long time now, for sort of 3 or 4 years. So we kind of have morning meeting on Zoom or Google Hangouts. And then we'll kind of, you know, just do little catch-ups. But what's been quite interesting, though, a lot of companies use things like Slack, where you can just kind of type to one another. we found actually that what we started doing now is encouraging people just to call one another, because what you're not getting now is that, you know, kind of literally shouting across the desk, you know, hey, Laura, what do you think about this thing? And we're trying to encourage people to just literally use the call button on Slack to ring, to call one another. And that's actually helped a lot, because I think people on, when you're writing things, that's when people misinterpret messages. And it's very different to, you know, if you kind of say, hey, Laura, typing it versus, hey, Laura, or hey, Laura, you just don't, you don't get that intonation that you get when you speak. So I think that's been another thing we've been trying to encourage people to do. And it's certainly helped me, because it just means kind of seeing those different faces rather than just it being a bunch of text on the screen, which is just, you know, you might as well talk to a robot.
Mm-hmm. But I think it also humanizes the whole process, because mm-hmm. when you're just typing, that person, you're not really concerned about how they receive the information, how they feel about it. And I think mm-hmm. we're a little bit harsher in words than when we're speaking to somebody. You know, I might send you a text or a message that says, Adam, fix this, you know, but if I'm speaking to you, I'll be like, I won't say fix it, you know, get it done. I'd be like, Adam, this is the problem we're having, you know, maybe, but it's like, I can now see you as a human. I can see you as a person who's receiving that information as opposed to just my needs. And I think it helps build the connection, especially with employees.
Definitely. But I also think, Sharif, you know, with clients as well, because like you were saying there about kind of, you know, written information, you know, it's interesting, like although my business is based in the UK, about 95% of our clients are based on East Coast, North America. So mm-hmm. when we initially started the business, you know, the way that we communicate in written form in the UK is a little bit different to that in the US. And I think the directness of kind of the way that, you know, in America, you guys do communicate what appears to be, so UK people sometimes are a little bit more forceful, but it's just that directness of how you use the language. And using calls to kind of talk to another, you soon realize that that is just actually a way of writing and rather than about people's feelings and opinions. And it's very interesting when we have new people come to work for us, you know, the first couple of times they might get an email of a client in the US, they're thinking, oh man, you know, am I in trouble? Or, you know, have I got to get this done right now? And it's not, it's just that they need to get used to the different way that we communicate across the pond. So yeah, it's an interesting thing. And I definitely, you know, I think I've kind of gone the other way now. I actually find it harder to communicate with British clients than I do with American clients, because my head is definitely in the same way of even kind of, you know, Americanisms when I speak, you know, I drop them in, you know, a lot of the time. And it's quite strange really that I never kind of thought that would be the case, but yeah, here we go.
No, I think it's very interesting. You made up a couple of points. Number one, the majority, 95% of the people you speak with are in New York City, you know, so it just, out of everyone, those are the most direct of the direct, you know. You might've got a little family in North Carolina that wasn't as direct, but in New York, there are people in California, we're known for being laid back. We're known for being chill. We're known for our personal space. If you go to New York and there are 12 people in the elevator, there's room for five more. If in California, if you get on the elevator and there are two, maybe three people in that elevator is now full. We don't cram, you know what I mean? So it's different places. So it's very interesting. I found the same thing. A lot of my designers or web designers are either in India or Dubai. And so when I say certain things, like certain American expressions, they're like, I don't get it. I'm like, oh, okay, I understand. I have to rephrase it. Very interesting. Would definitely love to continue this conversation. However, we are coming down to the last few minutes of the show. And what I love to do at the end of every show is just simply allow my guests the opportunity to speak directly to the audience, to everyone who is watching the show live, as well as everyone who is watching it in the archives, and let them know what you want them to take away from your appearance here today. And we're going to start with you, Alyssa.
Hi, thank you. No, I mean, thank you for having me here. I just think, I hope everybody absorbed. There's so much information that happened in this past hour. So, I mean, for me, from COVID fatigue to just some of these inspirational things to digital marketing, and the information kind of flowed seamlessly. So now that I reflect back, I'm like, wow, we actually covered a lot of very different subjects, but they kind of wrapped into all of them. But I think all of this is important. But again, I think Carrie, all of this around kind of like personal empowerment and having the right frame of mind is really, really resonate with me. And of course, go check out Kind Root. com. Check out our lozenges. And, you know, if we can be of any help with the kind of daily reset or making you feel good, you know, we're here for you as well. Thank you.
You are welcome. We're going to give it a couple of days and then we're going to go to your website and it's going to say, if you're suffering from COVID fatigue, order this.
Lots of marketing ideas for sure. For sure.
Yeah, I'm going to check back. I'm going to see. Carrie, what do you have for us?
Yes. Well, thank you again for having me. I think I will take on, you know, opportunity to come back again. So of course the conversations are always different, but hearing, you know, COVID fatigue and anybody who's ever hearing any of us, including myself or what I shared, you know, I love connecting with people. My information is on the screen, Carrie@sdlmcoaching.com. And yeah, just have a conversation, get to know somebody, get to see where they're at. And maybe it is something that could support them in having more what they want. I mean, priority is putting ourselves first. And yes, attitude equals behaviors equals actions equal results. So if you want to have better results in your life, you might need to have a better attitude, but can't be found through a book and it can't be found through somebody else, but you got to be open enough to be where you're not having that great attitude or optimistic to create the results you're looking for. So I'd love to connect with anybody out there who's open to some new ideas and making the best of the rest of 2020 and a great start to 2021.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Allison, what do you have for us?
Well, I just, I love being on your show, Sharifa, and it's just so exciting and different and everything. And I'm telling you, COVID fatigue is real and everyone feels it in their own little way. And I'm here as a home organizer in Southern California to help everyone. I can be found through the organization Maven is my handle. You Google it or type it really into any platform and it will come up. And I'm eager to take on 2021 and help people and get us through this another year.
Absolutely. Adam, what do you have for us?
Yeah, so Sharifa, thank you so much for having me today and all of you ladies, thank you. It's been really good to be part of this. And I think, you know, just from my point of view, I just wanted to say, you know, look, in terms of thinking about COVID, I think what we're going to focus on now is kind of what comes after. And one of the things that I'm working on at the moment is that we are planning on running a conference for people interested in meeting in real life in New York in September 2021. So do stay in touch with Blend Commerce on Facebook and LinkedIn. Do also connect with me, Adam Pierce, on LinkedIn too. And basically, I'll be sharing some more information about our Merchant Growth Expo that's going to be going live early in 2021. And then happening, as I say, in Brooklyn, New York on September 26th in New York.
Fantastic. I'd love to hear more. Like Carrie said, please feel free to come back for all the guests. I want to thank you all for being on today's episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. And I especially want to thank everyone who tuned in to watch this show live, as well as everyone who is watching it in the archives. And now, since we're on all of the major podcast stations, platforms, we're now on Apple, we're now on Spotify. So if you're listening to it in the archives on any of our platforms, we definitely appreciate your support. But don't just watch the show, don't just listen to the show, don't just share the show. What I ask is that you please reach out to our guests. They're here providing you with so much information. Connect with them, follow their information is in the Facebook post, in the YouTube description. Follow them on social media, send them a message, and when you reach out, please let them know. Sharifa Hardy says hi. Now, if you're interested in more ways that I can help your business, or maybe you want to pick up your tickets to my New Year, New You 2-day teleconference on December 29th and 30th, or maybe you want to be a guest on the Roundtable Talk Show, please visit my website at asksharifa.com. Until tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. Pacific, everyone have a safe and a blessed day. Bye now.